My friends, today I wish to discuss a question of grave importance, a matter that is concerned to everybody who believes the Bible. Forsaking the fundamentals, what does it mean? Amidst the closing activities of his third missionary journey, Paul met with the Ephesian elders and said to them, "Take heed unto yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops, to feed the church of the Lord which he hath purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departing grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Wherefore, watch ye, remembering that by the space of 3 years I cease not to admonish everyone night and day with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among them that are sanctified." Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 32. Some years later, the same apostle wrote to Timothy, who was then living at Ephesus, and said, "But the Spirit saith expressly that in the latter times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe and know the truth. Whatever creature of God is good, and nothing is to be rejected, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified through the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in mind of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which thou hast followed until now." 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the first 6 verses. Beloved, these passages fully reflect the thought that the future would unfold certain departures from God's word. Paul affirmed that there would be a turning away from the truth. Through the prophetic telescope of time, he foresaw a forsaking of the fundamentals of the faith. Paul was deeply conscious of the fact that the church of the first century and the church of subsequent centuries would face the very problems he listed so plainly. There has been no generation of Christians from Pentecost to present that has escaped the perplexing problems and deadly dangers of departing from the truth. Our generation is no different. In this matter, it is of grave concern today as to whether or not we depart from the faith. It is both imperative and practical that we be able to detect dangers and avoid their acceptation. A proper forewarning will go exceedingly a long way in helping to avoid such dangers. That is definitely a softening up of the fundamentals at work among religious people today. May I have your attention as I discuss some of these matters? My friends, and I say, are you listening? That is at work in religious circles at this very moment. A disavowal of the book, chapter, and verse preaching. You heard me correctly. That is a tendency today on the part of preachers in the pulpit to disavow book and chapter verse preaching. In absolutely too many quarters of this day, that has definitely the departure from the book, chapter, and verse type of preaching, which has long characterized God's faithful teachers. By chapter and verse preaching, I have reference to a proof text discourse that are heavily documented with scriptural references. It is just another description of what is meant by Bible preaching. That is what gospel preaching is all about. It is getting the inspired message into the hearts of the people. Book, chapter, and verse preaching is certainly in harmony with some of the great passages of the Bible. Isaiah the great prophet once wrote, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, surely there is no mourning for them." Isaiah 8 and verse 20. Book, chapter, and verse preaching shares the sentiment of another great important truth stated by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 34 and verse 16. He said, "Seek ye out the book of Jehovah and read. No one of these shall be missing. None shall want her mate, For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. Book, chapter, and verse preaching readily recognize the validity of making an appeal to two practical questions raised by our Lord in Luke 10:26. The Bible says, "What is written in the law, how readest thou?" Sermons and Bible classes full of biblical proof texts, which are correctly explained and interpreted, are in perfect accord with the admonition that Simon Peter gave in 1 Peter 4:11, when he said, "If any man speaketh, speaking as it were the oracles of God, if any man ministereth, ministering as the strength which God supplieth, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, who is the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Quotations of gospel truths from the Bible exhibit the power of truth in the lives of people. Paul wrote the Romans in Romans 1:16, declaring, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, even as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith." Jesus himself emphasized, "If ye abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. My friends, are you interested in Bible teaching? Do you desire that a sermon to which you give listening ear be richly enhanced with Bible quotations of saving truth? Should we be not more interested in what the Bible says than what man simply thinks? Book, chapter, and verse preaching is telling it like God says. Book, chapter, and verse preaching is listening to the Spirit of God as the Spirit speaks through His Word. It is only through the Bible that the Spirit of God speaks to the saint and sinner. Book, chapter, and verse preaching is to listen to what God says on any subject and every subject. That was Paul's plea when he wrote, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received." Paul received his revelation from God and delivered it just like God gave it, without addition, subtraction, alteration, or modification. This is the kind of preaching the world needs today. My friends, may I ask, are you listening? How much Bible do you hear from the pulpits of the land today? How many sermons have you heard lately and the preacher didn't even give any Bible quotations? Is it not time that we demand Bible in preaching? How many are there today that can quote from everybody except the Lord Jesus? Everybody except Peter, James, and Paul, these inspired men of God? I suggest to you that we need to come back to the Bible and all the way back to the Bible, and even give chapter and verse. Beloved, that there have been wholesale forsaking of the fundamentals among the masses is aptly seen in the very obvious fact that there is less and less dependence placed upon the gospel in order to interest people, in order to save people, in order to keep the saved in the ark of spiritual safety. This softening up of the Bible fundamentals is further evident when you once observe the rapidly growing dependence upon something else rather than the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ is God's power to save. His only power to save is set forth in the Bible. Romans 1:16-17 not only sets forth this thought, but serves as the entire thesis of the Roman epistle. The apostle wrote in this powerful packed message, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith." Paul uses a term for power in Romans 1:16, from which we derive the such English words as dynamite and dynamic and dynamo. The gospel, in a very real sense, beloved, is God's spiritual dynamite capable of blasting sin out of our lives. The gospel of Christ is God's power, spiritual dynamo, ready to release its quickening energy for the salvation of the lost. The gospel of God's dynamic energy ready to reach way down into the muck and mire of sin and lift fallen humanity from its deplorable condition of wrecked and ruined lives. Paul informed the Corinthians, "For though we have 10,000 tutors in Christ, yet have ye yet many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I begat you through the gospel. Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, wherein also ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except ye believe in vain." 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, and the 15th chapter, and the first two verses. The Apostle James declared, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." James 1:18, 21. It is a sad commentary upon the type of preaching some are doing today when secular poetry is preferred for sermon material over sacred scripture. What has happened to the modern-day religion when some are saying that the gospel will not open the doors, but we'll have to use some man-made psychology or to use the psychiatrist approach? How far afield have we traveled when religious programs will not use the Bible to employ attention to the Word of God, but all other means possible? No wonder there is such an amazing dearth of biblical ignorance in the world today. The pulpits of our land, for the most part, have not been dispensing of the Word of the living God with the power to save the lost. Today, we are witnessing so-called gospel meetings with very little Bible being used. Today, we are hearing that plain Bible messages is outmoded and is for another age and not this modern, sophisticated age. All of this opposition to rich, fundamental Bible preaching means that less and less dependence is placed upon the gospel to save lost souls. Has our generation never learned where the power really lies in moving men and women for Christ? Perhaps our generation needs to go back a long, long way back to the Bible, the Word of God, and actually give chapter and verse. Just remember Jesus said, "If ye abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus, the master teacher, declared that distinctive preaching is that which is needed. In another facet, it is said that the problem is magnified by the failure to set forth God's word plainly to the people that they may hear and understand. An elder in the Lord's church recently suggested that they were having trouble in getting their preacher to set forth clearly the terms of salvation as expressed in the New Testament. Such preachers should change their type of preaching, or else the congregation should change their preachers. I say to you, beloved, a man that will not preach the Bible, and I mean the Bible, has no business in the pulpit in the first place. Noah was a preacher with a distinctive message for his generation. Peter informs us in 2 Peter 2:5 that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Jonah was commanded to preach to the wicked Nineveh. "The preaching that I bid thee," it is recorded in Jonah 3:2. Jonah's message was distinctive, and it reaped results almost instantly. John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, the inspired apostles, and the early evangelists preached distinctively, if you please. They did not believe in giving Satan half time to state his case, but to preach the gospel positively and to expose false teachings and doctrines. Philip's message to the deluded Samaritans and the perplexed eunuch in the chariot was very, very distinctive. Just like Paul said, "For I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." That was his constant plea And that was his distinctive message. And oh, how we need such a distinctive message today. How the pulpits need to be saturated with the Word of God, and hearts are brought in conviction by the truth of God. Apostolic preachers not only proclaimed a different message than Judaism, philosophy, and the Roman religions taught of the time, but they stated it differently and proclaimed it boldly that the people might know whereof they spoke. It was not with apology. It is not distinctive preaching by any stretch of imagination when men apologize and compromise the truth of Almighty God. The high cost of compromise is another facet of this problem, or forsaking the fundamentals. This desire to compromise with error and isms of the day is growing in the hearts of so many people today. Surely this must be listed as other symptoms of the contagious disease of forsaking the fundamentals and fundamental softness. Isaiah, the prophet of God, once invited to leave off rebuilding the Jerusalem walls and come down to some of the cities of the plains of Ono, he wisely and courageously refused. In fact, to this proposal, he simply said no, he would not compromise. The great wall builder must have sensed immediately the potential danger of such an effort. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? Truths which have been won upon the bitterly contested mountains of courageous controversy have been lost quickly and completely upon Ono plains of surrender and compromise. It was once said about the fabled story of the hunter and the bear, and it should be a warning along this line. The hunter was taking careful aim at the bear. The bear said that he thought they should talk it over. "Let's talk about it," he pled. "We need to establish a dialogue," the bear counseled. The dialogue revealed that each had a need or a desire. All the hunter wanted was a fur coat. All the bear wanted was a full stomach. Both got their desire. The hunter, his fur coat, and the bear, his full stomach. A very successful compromise. Beloved, that is no place in a system of truth for deadly compromise with the forces of unbelief and error. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked.